This afternoon I may preach to you God's word as we find it and confess it with the church about baptism in Lord's Day 26 of the Heidelberg Catechism. The previous Lord's Day 25, has its heading Word and Sacrament, and these are the two means of grace. And this afternoon we give our attention to the first sacrament, Holy Baptism. And there we have the following question and answers. How does holy baptism signify and seal to you that the one sacrifice of Christ on the cross benefits you? Answer. In this way, Christ instituted the outward washing, and with it gave the promise that as surely as water washes away the dirt from the body, so certainly his blood and spirit will wash away the impurity of my soul, that is, all my sins. And what does it mean to be washed with Christ's blood and spirit? Answer. To be washed with Christ's blood means to receive forgiveness of sins from God through grace because of Christ's blood poured out for us in his sacrifice on the cross. To be washed with his spirit means to be renewed by the Holy Spirit and sanctified to be members of Christ so that more and more we become dead to sin and lead a holy and blameless life. Where has Christ promised that he will wash us with his blood and spirit as surely as we are washed with the water of baptism? Answer, in the institution of baptism where he says, Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned. This promise is repeated where Scripture calls baptism the washing of regeneration and the washing away of sins. Thus far, our reading from the Catechism. After the sermon, let us respond by singing Psalm 111, the stanzas 1 and 5. Brothers and sisters in and of our Lord Jesus Christ, as members of Christ's church, we are privileged to benefit from all the promises that God has made to us in his Son. And in the Lord Jesus Christ, we share in God's gracious gift of forgiveness of sins and the life everlasting. And this privilege of belonging to Christ brings with it the call to each one of us to serve God with our whole being. That means with our heart and soul and mind, and with all our strength. And that call comes to us through his word. Now you will remember that the word is one of the means of grace. I pointed it out before we read from the Lord's Day. The means of grace by which God tells us of his great act of deliverance in Jesus for all who believe. And in his wisdom, God has planned it in such a way that his word of grace and his message of salvation comes to everyone who hears that word proclaimed. Now, besides the written word and the proclaimed word, the Lord has also instituted two sacraments for the strengthening of our faith. And in contrast to the good news of salvation, which comes to everyone in the preaching of the gospel, the sacraments are only for those who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And the sacraments are only for the faithful who congregate each week as Church of Christ. The Lord gave the sacraments as signs and seals to be used for the building of his people as a covenant people. And here we begin to see how our privilege of belonging to Christ's church comes to the surface. Because as members of Christ's church, you and I may participate in the sacraments for the strengthening of our faith. And you did so this morning by celebrating the Lord's Supper. And we may see that this afternoon by the administration of baptism to one of God's covenant children. For in fact, already a little infant may participate in the sacrament of baptism. And what we witness when the water is sprinkled on the forehead of Georgia is not just something of significance for her later in life or for the parents right now. Now, every baptism has significance for all of us. For every time we witness a baptism, we are eyewitnesses to the way God grafts us into His church. He visibly grafts that person into His church in our presence and for all to see. And so covenant and baptism go hand in hand. And with every baptism, God also reminds us of the sign and seal that we once received. Every baptism is a sign of God's abiding faithfulness. The Lord God shows that His covenant still stands and that He renews it from day to day. Baptism continually points us to God's promise and assurance where He says, I am your God, you are mine. And so we realize that it is beneficial for us to consider once again how the Heidelberg Catechism instructs us about holy baptism. And I bring you God's word as the church confesses how, and this is our theme then, through holy baptism God affirms to us His grace. And the word grace means undeserved favor. God shows us His favor that we do not deserve. He does that by not giving us the punishment we deserve. And so we look at two things this afternoon. First of all, that holy baptism teaches us that we need a special cleansing. And secondly, it places us within God's covenant community. Now, a good starting point to sharpen and deepen our understanding of baptism is the baptism as administered by John the Baptist. His father Zechariah, through the power of the Holy Spirit, made some significant predictions at the time of the birth of his son. And he called him a prophet of the Most High, and he mentioned that his son would prepare the way of the Lord. John would also give his people the knowledge of salvation through the forgiveness of their sins. And we read all of that in the song of Zechariah. Now, while his parents called him John, in the neighborhood he became known as the Baptizer. And this addition to his name points to his unique task to baptize the Jews with the baptism of repentance. Now, the fact that John baptized tells us that before the Lord Jesus gave his great commission to his disciples to go and baptize all nations, baptism was already practiced in Israel. But do you know what kind of baptism John administered and for whom? Well, in the Jewish tradition of John's time, baptism was reserved for converts from paganism to the Jewish faith. A convert to the Jewish faith was also called a proselyte, and that convert was initially circumcised according to the law of Moses, and sometime later he was also baptized to symbolize that he was clean. Baptism, therefore, was the decisive moment and the turning point in the life of that proselyte. Baptism signaled a break with his heathen past and was the grafting into a new life in Israel. And so the Jews held the view that baptism was necessary for a heathen to be washed clean. But they felt that for themselves, baptism was not necessary. Circumcision was sufficient. And then one day, John came on the scene. And what did he do? Well, he had the nerve to proclaim to Abraham's descendants that they also needed to be baptized with water for repentance. He told them that without baptism of repentance, there is no entrance into the kingdom of heaven. And so his message was, repent, for the kingdom is at hand. And with these words, John confronted the people with the requirement and the facts of salvation. For John was indeed the prophet of the Most High, preparing the way for the Lord. And with his message and with the baptism of repentance, he made it clear to his fellow Jews that circumcision alone was not sufficient for them either. Circumcision portrayed the cutting away of the sinful flesh. But the significance did not stop there. It also served as a vivid reminder to cut the foreskin of the heart, as the Old Testament prophets already used to say. Circumcision pointed to the requirement to put off the old nature, to repent from sinful ways, and to turn to God to live in newness of life. And so what John taught was this. He said, circumcision itself does not save you. Just as we say in question and answer 72, baptism itself does not save you. Without repentance, baptism has no lasting benefit. In fact, if this sign and seal of the covenant does not make you turn to the Lord and make you live for Him, then His covenant blessing could become a curse. And so in essence, John placed the circumcised Jews who did not repent he placed them on the same level as the heathen converts. He instructed his fellow Jews that they needed to be baptized with the water of repentance because that baptism signifies the washing away of sins. And so the message was that anyone who sought the baptism of repentance, that person then would openly declare thereby his or her readiness to break with sin and to turn to God. And breaking with sin is the aim and the requirement of every baptism, also your and mine. For did Peter not proclaim in his sermon on Pentecost, he said there, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus? Yes, the water of baptism that is sprinkled upon us, whether it happened as an infant or as an adult, points to the washing away of sin. And therefore, our baptism reminds us that we need to repent from sin, that we need to break with sin and lead holy lives. Now, of course, the days of John the Baptist are long gone, but the requirement for repentance remains. John was only the forerunner of Christ, and his task was to prepare the way of the Savior. In fact, John foretold that Christ would give a new baptism. And that is why he said, I baptize you with water for repentance, but after me comes one who is more powerful than I. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. And so the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ introduced a new era for the church. The old had passed away. The new has come. And with that new era, a new sacrament was instituted by Christ. John baptized with the baptism for repentance. His baptism pointed to the Christ through whom we have forgiveness of sins. But because in John's days the Holy Spirit had not yet been poured out upon the church, the people were not yet baptized with the Spirit. And that changed after Christ's ascension, when on Pentecost the Holy Spirit was poured out upon his church. And therefore, Pentecost enlarges the scope and the significance of baptism. Since Pentecost, any baptism with water becomes at the same time a baptism with the Holy Spirit. And that should not surprise any one of us because, you see, the greater the giver, the greater the gift. And do you know how the gift becomes greater? Well, it becomes greater because now baptism signifies that we are not only washed in the blood of Christ, but also by His Spirit. And through the renewing power of the Spirit, we are better equipped to fight against sin. The Spirit equips us to become dead to sin, and He equips us to lead a holy and blameless life. But there's one more thing that I need to call your attention to. We shouldn't overlook the fact that John not only mentioned that Christ would baptize with the Holy Spirit, but he also said he would baptize with fire. Now, when we read that, we quite often think about the outpouring of the Holy Spirit where the flames of fire settled upon the disciples. But the baptism with fire means more than that. At Pentecost, flames as a fire would appear upon Christ's followers. You see, the part of John's prophecy of Christ baptizing with fire is not yet fully fulfilled. And so let me summarize it in this way. Here's the sequence of events. First came the baptism with water for repentance. Next came the baptism with the Spirit. And to be completed in the baptism with fire. And baptism with fire points to the last stage. The fire that will set the world ablaze will devour everything that is hostile to Christ, and it will purify those who belong to Christ. The baptism with fire will burn away all the remaining sins and weaknesses. It's like the burning of the chaff. And that is how we all need special cleansing. And so the Lord Jesus Christ instructed the church to baptize into the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And in baptism, Christ makes us share in the glorious promise of the triune God. As we will hear from the form later on, being baptized into the name of the Father tells us in no uncertain terms that we have a promise that we are accepted as his children. And being baptized in the name of the Son means that we have redemption, we have forgiveness in Christ's blood. And our being baptized in the name of the Holy Spirit promises us that he will renew us by his power to a new life, a life of thankfulness and obedience. And that brings us then to the second point of the sermon. Baptism places us within God's covenant community. Now, baptism is truly the way in which all of us are grafted in Christ's church. God's covenant community. Because that's what the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ is. God's covenant community. And so baptism is God's special way of telling us that he washes away the impurity of our souls and that he cleanses us from all our sins. And that simple act of sprinkling water on one's forehead points to an act of washing. But therein we also find the powerful symbolism of this sacrament for all who believe. For cleansing or washing away brings about some kind of change. And that brings me to the reading of Ezekiel 36. In Ezekiel 36, God speaks very clearly about the powerful symbolism of sprinkling clean water on his people by which they will become clean. And then it comes, it says, I will give you a clean heart. God's cleansing is like a heart transplant. For he will take away the heart of stone to replace it with a heart of flesh. A heart that beats for God. And that, my brothers and sisters, that is why baptism is such a marvelous sign for each one of us. It shows that in Christ there is a cleansing from the guilt of sin and from the pollution of our daily sins. At one time we were defiled, covered and stained with sin like dirt that clings to us. But now we are washed in Christ's blood and Spirit, and we may live on as people who are washed clean. Baptism points us to a glorious future in Christ, who was willing to become our Savior and who obtained for us not just a new lease on life, but a new life altogether. And that is why baptism is more than a ritual. I know in this congregation you see baptism on a very regular basis. And when we see baptism happen on a very regular basis, it becomes like, yeah, we're baptism again, and we see this as a ritual. But every baptism is far more than a ritual. You see, it's very much a statement of faith. As the Heidelberg Catechism so boldly states, Christ instituted this outward washing, and with it gave the promise that as surely as water washes away dirt, so certainly Christ's blood and spirit wash away the impurity of my soul. Now, of course, little infants do not understand this yet. They don't understand yet that when God puts a sign and seal upon their heads, it is something significant. And that is why parents promise to instruct their children in matters of faith. And when parents do so faithfully, then when the children become to the age of understanding, then the blessing of baptism becomes clear to the children. Yes, I speak on purpose about the blessing of baptism. For notice what we confess. We do not say that our sins will be washed away in the future, but that Christ's blood and spirit washes us right now. Baptism is God's seal of inward grace, that is, his undeserved favor that we can work with and live from. The benefits are there now already. And so when we understand the purpose of our baptism, then we will see that it calls us to a life of repentance and service to God. And the point is that we will only fully realize the significance of baptism if we acknowledge that we are by nature children of wrath. Why do we need forgiveness of sins? Because we're sinful people. We are children of wrath by nature. We are born, conceived, and born in sin. And so we are unclean and we need to be cleansed. Baptism is a benefit to us when we accept it as God's sign and seal of our being cleansed. Holy baptism signifies and seals to me the washing away of my sins by Christ's blood and spirit. Yes, both. We are washed clean by Christ's blood and spirit. By shedding his blood on the cross, Christ removed the guilt of our sins. God the Father declares to us that we are not guilty in Christ Jesus. And so we are also baptized into the name of the Holy Spirit, and the Spirit is at work to bring about daily renewal of life. And these two elements of forgiveness of sins and renewal of life, they go together. Justification, the fact that we are declared righteous, and sanctification, the part that God renews us, these two are inseparable. You cannot talk about your being in the right with God, forgiven of your sins, if your life doesn't live up to what you believe. Justification and sanctification, believing that your sins are forgiven and living a holy life, they go together. They're inseparable. They're like two sides of the same coin. And therefore, we may not disconnect them in our life either. For us to be baptized and to be a new person ought to become one and the same thing. Even though we are baptized only once, the impact and the effect of baptism is with us daily and for life. The form of baptism explains so beautifully that we are called and obliged by the Lord to a new obedience. Pay attention to those words when we read the form. Called and obliged by the Lord to a new obedience. Not just called, but also obliged. Not just something passive, but also something active. And that activity is that we cleave to this one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and to love Him with our whole heart, soul, and mind, and with all our strength. And we must not love the world, but put off our old nature and lead a God-fearing life. And so just as with John's baptism, our baptism calls us to a life of repentance and turning to God. And therefore, every baptism we witness reminds us of our calling to break with our sinful past and live in new obedience to Christ. And so this baptism of Regina this afternoon is not just something for her and for the parents, it's something for all of us. It teaches us to be prepared to fight against the weakness of our flesh and our sinful nature. And in that way, we die more and more unto sin and begin to live a holy and blameless life. Those are the words of the Catechism. But the question is that possible? Can we live holy and blameless lives? We so often fail. We are conceived and born in sin, right? So is this pie-in-the-sky theology? No, my brothers and sisters, the scholars, the theologians who wrote the form for baptism, they were very knowledgeable and realistic about human nature. They knew about falling into sin. And that is why we also read these encouraging words in the form, if we sometimes through weakness fall into sins, we must not despair of God's mercy nor continue in sin. For baptism is a seal and trustworthy testimony that we have an eternal covenant with God. And these beautiful words in our form were written for your and my daily encouragement. God is a forgiving God. He is the God of mercy and grace. And in the sign and seal of baptism, He says over and over, your sins are forgiven. That means yours and mine. But God also says, live now unto me. Through baptism, you are grafted into the church of Christ, God's covenant community. And every time then you witness a baptism, remember that it speaks to each one of you personally and assures you of my love and faithfulness. But our gracious God also wants something from you and me in return. And what does He want? Well, He wants our thanks and praise. He wants our thankful heart which says, I thank you, Father, that in baptism you promise to me in Christ, and you guarantee to me by your Holy Spirit the forgiveness of sins and life everlasting. And besides this thanks and praise to God the Father, He also wants us to live in holiness as a sign to Him that we have understood the great gift, that we are prepared to break with the past, and that we strive to live in new obedience. And that, my brothers and sisters, is how we truly show thankfulness to God in Christ for the sign and the seal of the covenant. To His church, God has sent redemption. Eternal is His covenant. Belonging to God's covenant community that the Lord Jesus Christ is gathering from the beginning of the world to its end. Belonging to that community is a privilege. For in Christ we have the washing away of sins through the blood and Spirit. The sacrament is God's sign and seal that in Christ we share in God's gracious gift of forgiveness, the forgiveness of sins, and life everlasting. And that is the promise that you may witness in a visible way every time you see a baptism. Amen.